The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, I think it's around Proverbs 18, somewhere like that, it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when I was asking God about it, I said, why did you put death before life? He said, because the human spirit is more capable of accommodating death than it is life. That's how turbulated we have been, or twisted in terms of our understanding. Our ability to conceive death is stronger than our ability to conceive life. I've enjoyed two services full of praise and worship today. It's really wonderful. And also, I want to encourage you, listen to the 9 a.m. service. Auntie Ruth brought a great word. It's amazing how much... The 9 o'clock is like Sunday school. It's got like a Sunday school anointing on it. Real good, solid, hardcore teaching. And we thank God for that. Wonderful. Right, if you have your Bible, where are we going? We are going to go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, I think. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-ba-ba. Thank you to those who prayed for us while we were in Norway. It was a wonderful time there. We went up into the mountains, took 24 hours door to door with a hotel stay over in between. And we did a great weekend retreat for Vision Norge, our friends up there in the mountains of Norway. And it's amazing what they're doing with the TV ministry there. It's absolutely wonderful. Praise God. Okay, Genesis chapter 2 it is, and verse number 16. Genesis 2, 16. Wonderful. The Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From the tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die.'" Hallelujah to Jesus. I want to minister to you something today that's going to take, it's going to take you the necessity, if you're going to catch this from God, that it's going to need that you erase everything that you think that you know about a particular subject. And the way God showed me how to impart this to you was, he said, just erase your mind, blank out your mind, and see Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 16 that we just read from Adam's perspective. And from my perspective. Wow. So you're going to have to put yourself in another seat. Right. You're going to have to erase everything that you think you know about this particular situation. And then understand what it sounded like in terms of how the Spirit of God imparted this. Because you must understand that Eden, this place, this garden where God created man, the Bible says, from the dust of the earth, breathed the breath of life into him, and he became a living soul. That place was absolutely packed and stacked with life.
Right.
Everything was living. Everything radiated the life force of God. And that life force was so extreme and so powerful that there was nothing outside that life force that could effectively be or relate in that situation. Everything was alive.
Wow.
And then God introduces this subject. He says to his man Adam, he says, don't eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it. Because in the day that you do it, you shall die. Now, you've got to understand, you see, we think we know what death is.
Right?
Because we're, you know, I'll never forget, we had this little three-year-old toddler in our lives when I lived back in Tottenham. His name was Jimmy. We used to call him Jimmy Mac. And he had a very simple understanding of life. He was very, like, raw and straight up. And, you know, as toddlers are, right? I mean, we get more sophisticated the older we get. So, for instance, there was one time where he couldn't go to playgroup because he had diarrhea. The kind of thing that you'd keep quiet about, he's telling the whole street. So I shouted across the road. His mum had him by the hand. And I said, Jim, I said, how come you're not in play? He used to call it playgoop instead of playgroup. How come you're not in playgoop? He said, oh, I've got runny poos coming out of my bum. He says, pointing to his backside. And his mother, you know the way you see the mother's yank? Anyone had the mother's yank? The mother went like that. And you just see him getting tugged along the road. Jimmy, come here. And so that was his understanding of life. So I said to him one day, he had this friend called Matthew. He used to call him Mafu. And I said, you know, one was Batman and one was Robin. Like, they used to keep the Batman costume and the Robin costume in playgoop together, you know, just so that they could be like partners in this thing. Anyway, so little Jim, he used to keep his Batman costume, Robin costume, et cetera, and this guy, Mafu's come. And so one day, Mafu didn't show up at playgoop. And it was like, so Jim sat there for an hour crying, inconsolable, because Batman's Robin hadn't shown up and they were just going to have, you know, you could see he'd already mapped out the fun. And so Jimmy was telling this story to us, you know, about Mafu in the playgroup, how sad it was and everything like that. I said, so why didn't Mafu come to playgroup? He said, oh, he had to go to his auntie's funeral. I said, oh, I said, what happened? He said, she got fat and died. That was his explanation of... Now, obviously, he'd been told that by someone. You know, like, they don't make this stuff up themselves, you know? But anyway, so that was the end of Matthew's auntie. She got fat and died, and that was that. But you see, death was as much an unreal concept to Jimmy Mac as death is for Adam. God says, he says, in the day that you do it, you're going to die. He knew nothing about death. Death was a completely foreign and a completely alien concept to him. But let me tell you, my brother and sister, in the new creation, death is as much a foreign concept and an alienation to us as it was to Adam. Because you see, we see death as the separation or the disconnection of the physical body from the thing called life, which keeps your body, your soul, and your spirit in one container called your body, right? And when that life is cut off, the Bible talks about the silver cord being broken in the book of Ecclesiastes. When that silver cord is cut off, your container is released of its contents. And you, the person, go to your eternal home. So if you're going to hell, the next time you open your eyes, you're going to open them in hell. May that not be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. If heaven is your portion, the Bible says, when you're absent from the body, you're absent from your container, you are present with the Lord. It's as quick as that. So all the disruption, everything like that, has got to be dealt with, like on planet Earth with humanity, and you know, they have to bury your carcass in the ground before you start stinking, and you know, like, leave you to the whatever is going to eat you underground. Does that sound like a good deal? Well, that's what happens. If you don't believe me, just go dig something. No, don't dig something. Okay, so this is the concept. So he's saying, he may as well have said to Adam, in the day that you do it, you shall iPod. It's like, what is this thing? It's completely foreign concept. Completely foreign concept. And the Bible says, Adam lived 930 years. But you see, we must understand that in human terms, right? The clock didn't start ticking for Adam until he ate of the fruit, because it was in the process of eating the fruit that Adam died. It took 930 years for the devil to work out how to disconnect his life from his physical body. Because when you're in the presence of such life like that, it radiates. Every single cell in your body comes alive. Some of you that's had an encounter with the Holy Spirit like that, you know what I mean. It's like being electrocuted sometimes. Every cell in your body comes alive. I remember God healing me back in the day, long time ago, 1988, 89, in New Hampshire, USA. A friend of mine praying for me. And God obviously opened his eyes and he saw all the silt and sludge that I'd gone through from life, etc., etc. And the pressure, he just pushed. It's almost like he was pushing life into me. I could hardly breathe. Now, this was a guy who used to do spray concrete. I don't know if you've ever seen those concrete guns. Have you seen those things? Like you have to hold it with two hands and it is pressurized concrete. And this is what he used to do. He used to make swimming pools. So he'd do like the iron work and then he'd push the concrete out into the swimming pool and create that frame for the swimming pool. I mean, the dude was built and he's pushing it and I couldn't catch my breath as he's praying for me. And as he did, I had an encounter with God. And that encounter was so strong, I could feel every nerve in my teeth. I lit up like an X-ray. It's the only way to describe the encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit that I had that day. Absolutely remarkable, remarkable. And that's what it's like sometimes in the presence of God. It's like your physical body can hardly even contain it sometimes. I know a guy somebody was telling me about this guy in Ghana. He was the spiritual father to a friend of mine over in Ghana. And he said one time he had an encounter with God. He used to live in like a mud hut type thing, way up country in Ghana. And this guy had such an encounter with God that the house got so hot that the thing cracked. Imagine that. So this is Adam's experience, right? So then when we read that 930 years Adam lived, that doesn't mean that he lived from the moment that God breathed the breath of life into him, because the clock didn't start ticking yet. Death's clock started ticking the moment that he ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because that was the moment that he got disconnected from the life source. And here's how the Holy Spirit, because I was praying about this, I was saying, God, I know what you want to do. I know where you want me to take the congregation. I said, but how can I articulate this so that everyone in the house will understand? And God put it this way. He said, you know when you charge up your mobile phone? He said, if you keep that phone charged, then as long as there's electric supply, that thing will charge forever. You'll be 100% forever. He said, but the moment you disconnect it, the clock starts ticking on the amount of life that is left in your phone. Hallelujah. So when God said to Adam, he said, in the day that you do it, you shall die. He's not saying in the day that you do it, you shall physically keel over. He's saying in the day that you do it, you shall be disconnected from me. That's where your charger is disconnected. From that moment on, the clock starts ticking for Adam. And it took the devil 930 years to work out that Adam could even die. You see, death was foreign to Adam. Death was foreign to Eve until the death of their son. And I saw a quick snap vision of Abel lying there as a corpse, and they didn't know what to do with him. Because it was that foreign. The idea of death was that foreign. That they didn't know, well, what do we do with him? Like, what's wrong with him? And then he starts decaying, bits start falling off, and all sorts of stink, and God knows, you know, because like,
We look all dignified and everything like that, but I mean, don't wash for a week and you'll smell what you smell like. You know, we are given to decay. It's just the amount of speed. And you know, God can delay your decay. I mean, I feel younger now than I did like 10 years ago. That's the God's honest truth. I want to retire at 100 and then spend the last 20 years of my life just glorifying God, doing that. That's my desire. But if we set a goal of 120, right, then why not for the next generation push it to 125? It means you've got to watch what you put in your body, how much you put in your body. Got to listen to the Holy Spirit in terms of like what to eat and all those kind of designated taste buddy things that we need. But it's doable. It's possible. Because we have the idea that at 125, you've got to have slobber coming out of your mouth. You're going to be sitting in a wheelchair that's full of what Jimmy Mack had earlier on and all that kind of stuff, right? But that's how the devil's imagery has cast itself on us. The Bible says that Noah was 600 years old when he entered the ark. I mean, the dude built it and finished and walked in at 600. I mean, what are we going to look like? Do you understand?
Yes.
You know, for us to have been around 600 years, we'd have been born when Queen Elizabeth I was Queen of England. That's quite some time. Amen. So we've got mileage to go. There's stuff to do here. We've got there's something that we can break through. Right, now, I've said all that because there's something that I want you to understand. In Christ, we have been connected to life.
Wow.
Here's part of the problem. Here's the problem, you see? Our connection to life is as foreign as Adam's understanding was of death. God has taken that concept and flipped it over 180 degrees. And this is the thing, you see. God says, what did Jesus say? He said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? But I have come that you might have what? Life. And you see, that life word, the word zoe in the Greek, is an ever-living, ever-recharging, perpetuating, eternal, and they didn't know how to translate that word zoe when they were translating the original Bible. How could they? Because it's as foreign to them as death was to Adam. If you interviewed Adam when he came out from that encounter with God about the tree, and he said, so in the day that you do it, you shall die. Yes, God told me that. Okay, well, tell us, what does it mean? He's like, I don't know. And in fact, if you interviewed him 5 minutes after he ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right, what would he have said? He said, well, there's this presence in my life. It's called fear. I don't know what it is. I know that I need to put something around my holy parts to cover my nakedness. So what does nakedness mean? I don't know. These bits down here, they need covering up. I don't know why, but suddenly there's something there. Suddenly my friend God, my creator God, the one who I looked into his face. You imagine the first thing when Adam opened his eyes when he was created by God, the first thing he saw was God himself. The first words he heard were words of blessing and multiplication and abundance and life. The Bible says, and God blessed him. Whoa! Wow! And suddenly this person who we call Daddy, this person who's his friend, they walk together in the garden. God would get him to name all the animals. You see a dog coming up to him and say, what do you want to call it, Adam? Adam said, I'll call it. You ever notice you make that noise, the dog still comes? Worldwide. Because that was the name that Adam gave him. You see the cat. Anyone do that? Yeah. worldwide, a cat will still come to you. Chook, 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 chook. Anyone kept chickens? Worldwide. I mean, these things still have names handed from generation to generation that Adam gave when God was, and they still in it, there's something on the inside of them that will still respond. And this being suddenly becomes Adam's enemy. This one that he's looked into his eyes and I don't know what he will have seen. What has the Bible said? God created man in his own image and likeness. So he's like the nearest thing that Adam has got to a mirror is God himself. Wow. 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 Now you think of this. I mean, this is like deep profundo for Sunday, but I believe you can handle it. Can you say amen? I mean, this is like there's a depth to this because I want us. You see, if we can't get what Adam went through in the concept of death, then it's very, very difficult for God to get through to us the concept that he has given us called life. Zoe life. The eternal, everlasting, self-perpetuating, self-charging process. The nearest thing that you can see in science is like the sun. The sun is always replenishing its ability to shine. If you've seen close-ups of the sun where they've analyzed it from a scientific point of view and the amount of hydrogen it burns from nothing, I mean, it's just like it's miraculous in nature. And it's like an example of what eternal life is for you and I. This Zoe life can correct anything in your life, in your history, in your postcode, in your ability to learn, or anything, absolutely anything at all that you see as a deficit. This thing called life can turn the thing around. Powerful, 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 powerful concept. Hallelujah to Jesus. I want to expand this a bit more now and get some scripture into you because I believe that you're catching what God wants to impart today. Because there's something, even if you have to go over this message like three or four times or whatever and get into this thing, because there is a portion. Life is something that you never run out of. There's a new portion in Christ all the time. There's something new all the time. That's why you ever read your Bible and you get like 16 different things from one verse. Yes. And then you come back to it the next day, you get another 16 and another. Because there's a life source within it. The Zoe life of God is transmitted by the word of the living God. Look at what the Bible says now in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Now we can start to understand some scripture. The Bible says this, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among them too, we all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in... This is the one who Adam looked at when he first opened his eyes. This fellow, God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together in Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. Wow. I'll be honest with you, my brother and sister. I've been meditating on this thing for decades, and I still know there's more. There is more. There is more. Put that scripture back, please, on the board there. Such a powerful thing. So even when I was dead, even when... Remember the cell phone analogy? Even when I was disconnected, God was doing something in the hardware, giving me a software update, etc., so that at one stage, you see, we often think, right, 31st of August 1984, it's a Friday, 2 o'clock in the morning in his house in Ireland, I suddenly invite Jesus into my heart, come into my life, and like, I'm sorry, God, I didn't know you were real, don't kill me. That was my first prayer to God, right? And you see, we often think, because there's a date stamp on it in our experience, that that's where our salvation existed. But then when you read in the New Testament as to who we actually are in Christ Jesus, we realize that this thing was done in the economy and in the time scale of God before the foundation of the earth. So the new you was around a long time before the old you. Hallelujah. Let me put it this way. The real you was around a long time before the old you. I don't know about you, but that's such good news. Jesus. That God had a plan to crucify and kill the old me and inhabit the new me. I mean, it would be like if the software updates for the Apple iPhone, because I'm sure they're going to have to do software updates. Those things are so glitchy. I recommend Samsung, brothers and sisters. Glory to Jesus forever. It's not the world's number one selling mobile phone for nothing. Praise God forever. Right. So you imagine that somewhere in eternity, in the Garden of Eden, in the IT room in the Garden of Eden, there's a guy doing a software update for the Apple iPhone 13 Pro, right? And that software update is there. It's ready to connect you to God himself. And yet man has to be born. Adam has to go through his issues. Then there's Cain and Abel. And then there's Enoch walking with God. And then there's Noah. And then there's Moses. And then there's Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel. And then there's Jesus. And then there's the 12 apostles. Then there's Paul the apostle. Then there's the growth of the church throughout Macedonia and Asia Minor. And there's the growth of the church through Constantinople. And then there's the big Islamic invasion where they just come and, like, you know, persecute all the Christians out, and Christianity spreads more and more into Europe. It finds a stronghold in Europe and it stays there for like 1,000 years, and then it goes off to the Americas, and it goes to Latin America, and it goes to Africa, and then it goes to the west of Ireland, to number 27 Cardinal Cushing Road, Merview, Galway, at 31st of August 1984 at 2 o'clock in the morning. And the software update is complete. Hallelujah to Jesus. I hope this is messing your concept of time up. Because you see, the TikTok time for Adam didn't start until he disconnected from God. The number of people I get where they're saying, oh, well, Pastor P, you know, The universe must be older than 6,000 years because of, you know, that, like, light going at 186,000 miles a second for 24 hours. That would have mean there was 1.8 billion miles of universe in the first day and blah, blah, blah. And we can plot the size of the universe by virtue of the size of when it happened, et cetera, using the Adam biblical timescale as a timescale. But the problem is, the clock didn't even start ticking for decay until Adam got disconnected. That's why there's... Thank you, honey. I'm trying my best. That's why there's such a difference. There's such a difference between science and science's understanding of the timescale and what the Word of God says. It's our understanding of the word. It's our understanding of the concept of time. God is a time bender. He bends time to suit him. You remember Joshua, when he's fighting and he knows, he said, gosh, you know, the sun's going down. I need more time. Lord, help me here. And God says, okay, speak to the sun. Oh, sun, stand still. Hey. Then Isaiah, yeah. Hezekiah's like, you know, feeling unwell. God tells him, God tells Isaiah, tell him to get his house in order, he's going to die. Hezekiah comes to the steps of the temple and just prays and says, God, I'm too young to go. I've got so much more. There's more to my destiny than this. And God turns Isaiah around. He says, go tell him he's going to live another, 15 years or so. And it's all well. And Hezekiah says, how do I know? He says, right, okay, follow the falling of the sun on the steps of the temple. If the sun goes backwards, you've got your miracle. Can you imagine if somebody said, I mean, you know, let's say, God forbid, there's something terminal that the devil's attacking you with. And you go to a prophet, and the prophet says, oh, thus says the Lord, it's going to be well with you. And you say, okay, well, like, is there a sign I should follow? Yeah, just watch the sun. When the sun goes down, it's going to come back. It's going to say hello, and then it's going to go back down again. It's like, thanks, prophet. Cheers. Like, what is the likelihood of that happening? Do you understand? And with God, it's nothing. With God is absolutely nothing. He says, with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is a day. That's how Jesus could accelerate the boat. You remember the whole thing about the year of divine acceleration that's coming, this coming year? That's how he could do it. Because time's nothing. Time's like a rubber band to our Lord. Hey, Jesus. He can renew your youth like the eagle by you waiting on him. Now, that might not mean much to you until your youth needs renewing. Some of you younger ones, you don't know what that's like yet. But Jesus, when it happens, hallelujah. I receive it, glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 4. Do you see why I said you might need to listen to this, like for a little, like let the thing stew. Praise God. Two yellow stickies. It had to be the Lord. It's true. I sent my wife home once. I'd forgotten my notes that I was going to preach. And I sent her home. I said, oh, Joey, I said, I need you to go back to the house for me. I've left my sticky notes on the bedside table because that's often where I pray and like hear God, what God's doing. And so she drove back and she called me again. She said, Paolo, the only thing I can find is like two words on a yellow sticky. And I said, yeah, that's it. She said, I could have done that. I sent her home for two words. It was good words. Praise Jesus. God was glorified. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 6. If you haven't found it now, just forget it. It says, for the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. In other words, you see, that's why we preach. When I'm preaching here on YouTube or in the house here, I'm preaching both to the living and the dead. Because there are people who are dead, who in our eyes, they're alive, but they haven't yet heard the gospel to come alive. Because, you see, death isn't death. Real death is disconnection from God. That's what real death is. So someone said it this way. He said, if you're born once, you'll die twice. But if you've been born twice, you'll die once. Amen. I can see some of you, your brains are working for the first time in church in decades. Hallelujah to Jesus. So that's what we're doing. We are preaching both to the living and the dead. Or we will put it this way. We are preaching both to the connected and to the disconnected. Hallelujah to Jesus. I pray. You see, the reason God's given me this word is that your connection can become even stronger. Because once you're connected to God, you're connected to the very life source that could have kept Adam living forever and ever. Hallelujah. There is a life source. It renews us. It renews our physical bodies. It renews our mind. It renews everything about us. It takes our oldness and our deadness and sheds it. I mean sheds it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 7 and verse number 9. Romans 7, verse 9. Praise God. I think you'll find it before I will. Where have you gone, Romans? Here we go. Romans 7, verse 9. Look at it here. It says, I was once alive apart from the law. Now, this is the Spirit of God explaining death through Paul the Apostle. I was once alive apart from the law. In other words, as you know, children are a lot more connected to God than adults. I don't know whether you've noticed that. They have a lightness in their spirit. They're more aware of spiritual things and everything like that. I mean, you know, it's the easiest thing in the world sometimes to get children healed of sicknesses and diseases that you'd be praying, fasting, and declaring over adults for months. It's just the way it is. It's the kind of spirit they have. I'll never forget one of the guys here helps out in the soup kitchen, Tike. Everyone knows Tike. Yeah, well, most people. And I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this, but it was funny. When he was about 2 years old, he started losing weight, like really, like fast. And his mum was very worried. His mum's Auntie Hilda, volunteering in the church. And she was really worried about him. She said, but could you come over and pray for him? So I said, hey, TK, how you doing? I said, are you a winner? He said, no, I'm a loser. I said, no, you just don't know it. I said, son, you're a winner. And anyway, I said, so we're going to pray for you and we're going to ask God if there's anything needs to happen. Anyway, I shut my eyes. I put my hands on his shoulders. And usually when I pray for kids, I kneel down because then you don't feel so threatening to them, you know. So I've knelt down there, I'm praying for him. All of a sudden, the Lord shows me a picture of him sitting out the back garden playing with a cat poo. And a neighbor, what had happened was, a neighbor's cat had come in over the fence, dumped one, and obviously he's played with it as a toddler and doesn't know, and he's obviously got some parasitic worm or something. So we just killed that worm right there in Jesus' mighty name. I said, Auntie Hilda, I said, he's going to be fine. From this day on, God's shown me. And she says, oh, that cat. And she knew exactly which cat it was. You know, there's one. There's always one. Yeah. And that was it. And the guy was absolutely fine, like totally and utterly healed, just as easy as that, you see? And this is what he's saying here. He's saying, I was alive. There was a part of me that was still remotely connected to God, apart from the law once. But when the commandment came, in other words, thou shalt this, thou shalt not that, blah, 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 right? Sin became alive and I died. Now, does that mean that somebody called 999 and got the resus team and got the defibrillator out and all that kind of stuff? No, not at all. You see, so the law the death that he's talking about isn't the death concept that we have. It's the death concept that God ordained, disconnection from God. There was a part of me that was fully alive. Those of you that have these wireless chargers, you know, it might not be directly connected, but you're just there. You've got your thing on the power source right there. And then, like, suddenly sin comes alive, boom. The same disconnection happened, except there was no wire in the first place. And that's what he's talking about there. That's the concept of death. Death is separation from God. Life. Oh, let me tell you this, because like my time's running out real fast. But let me tell you this. You see, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, I think it's around Proverbs 18, somewhere like that, it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when I was asking God about it, I said, why did you put death before life? He said, because the human spirit is more capable of accommodating death than it is life. That's how turbulated we have been or twisted in terms of our understanding our ability to conceive death is stronger than our ability to conceive life, right? Now, here's my backward testimony on this. You remember little Jimmy Mack? And he couldn't go to playgroup because of, yeah. Well, I found this hilarious. I mean, the whole street was laughing. So guess what I started saying every time I didn't want to do something or couldn't do something? Are you coming out to so-and-so later on, Paul? No. He said, why? Because I got runny poos coming out of my bum. That's what I used to say, just for a laugh. Dude, it wasn't 3 days. I caught a dose. And when I was praying about this, I was saying, God, like, I wish that I could capture life things as fast. How do I do it? How do I do it? We must get our spirit turned round to life. Life is the thing. Now, I'm going to finish with this Mafia God quote from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because I love it. I love it. Look at this. John chapter 10. You see, we often think that, in fact, if I took a poll right here, right now, we often think that this scripture of John chapter 10, verse number 10, is Jesus talking about his enmity with the devil. But, I mean, have a look in your own time. We haven't got time right now. But at the end of John chapter 9, it's clearly evident that Jesus is talking to and challenging the Pharisees and Sadducees of the day straight to their face. And he's saying to them, he's saying, you guys, you're a bunch of thieves and killers. I mean, imagine that. You're the religious authority of the day, and this upstart preacher, just because he can raise a few dead people and sick bodies, comes and starts challenging your authority. He says, you guys, you're a bunch of thieves and killers. Killing, stealing, and destroying. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep, etc. And then look what he says here. I love this. This will bring, I pray, John 10:10 alive to you in a way that just needs to happen. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I came that they might have Zoe. And not only Zoe, Zoe abundantly. That's not just charging, that's supercharging. We're not just connected, we are super connected. Like we are 5G, 6G level connected. That's the level of connection we have, an online connection with God all the time. Oh, super fast, 100 megabits a second. Pew! Glory to Jesus. Could you stand to your feet? I'm leaving it there because I want you to like take the thing and stew it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like marinate the thing, stew it, and may you see your life in Christ in a new light, in a new way. Father, everything that you wanted to open up in our spirits as a result of this concept, Father, I pray that I've delivered it well. I pray, Lord God, that your word would dwell richly on the inside of them, that the life source, the life flow that we have, not only would be ours, Lord God, but would spring up to an overflowing fountain of life in the lives of others, Heavenly Father. Thank you, wonderful Jesus, for life itself. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Father, I thank you that that life form takes on all sorts of different forms too. We give you praise and glory and honor for it, Father, and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.